Okay. Yonatan, go ahead. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So there's just so much to say about this Gemara, but I'd like to highlight 3 points, the second of which has 2 parts. So, Yonatan, let's try to do it together, collaboratively. So what do you think is the first striking aspect of this Gemara? And he says, a din of Mikra Megillah. Okay, good. So the idea of doing it twice is very striking. It may even be singular. And it's one thing we talk about, and it's, you know, really appropriate for us, Kriyat Shema Shachris Varvis, and we're very attuned to, is it one integrated mitzvah? Is it 2 separate mitzvos? Right? But we all agree that, you know, even if you say, like the Rambam, that it's, you know, one integrated mitzvah of Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim, right, you wouldn't say you say Kriyat Shema in the morning and then you repeat it in the evening. There's, you know, each one has to some extent its own integrity. So the idea of, like, you know, Kriyas HaMegillah and then just doing it all over again is really striking. And let's highlight that by noting what fact, you know, it's on in the Gemara itself. What would be a very strong indication that that's a surprising thing? Not just the, you know, in general we know. We have insider knowledge, you know, because we know a lot about Yahadus and Torah and Halacha, so we can't really think of parallels to that. But even if all you knew in all of Yahadus and Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh was this one Gemara, you would also know that it's surprising. How would you know that? Because what does the Gemara itself say? Savar minal the mikraya belalia velisna masnisin dida b'yamama. Meaning what?
They should read at night and then discuss the Mishnah.
Right. It was like, what sense would there be in just doing this twice? Oh, it must mean lishanosa. Must mean in language, you know, shinun vishinant levanecha. So that I think is also a very strong indication. That would be the first point that I would raise. Is the, you know, the dual nature. Totally, you know, consistent with all of our analyses regarding Kriyash. Second, the Havamina in its own right, even though we don't end up paskening this way, but thinking that part of the religious act of the day is a din of Kriyas Megillah Balayla, and then what would you say during the day? What's the din? This is the suggestion. Right, to learn. So this seems like something even beyond. What would the din klali here be, Yonatan? I mean, it's not unheard of, the idea that one should study the laws of.
There's the idea of learning about Pinyan and Yama.
Good. Where's that Gemara?
In Megillah, Daf Dalet.
But where's the Gemara that says in general there's a halacha of learning about a yantif on a yantif? Megillah Lamed Beis, right? Vayidaber Moshe es Modei Hashem al Bnei Yisrael, Tikin and Moshe li Yisrael, Hilchos Chag v'Chag, Hilchos Atzeres Atzeres, Hilchos Pesach v'Pesach. So that might be an expression of that, right? Even though it's not clear that Purim is a yantif, right? Yantif lo kiblu alayhu, Gemara Daf Hey, but the fact that part of the observance of the day, the mitzvahs hayom, would be a special or a din prati, we would call it, a din misuyam, a specific halacha of learning the halachos of Mikra Megillah, is a very remarkable thing. Okay, so then the Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean that. The language here of chayvadim likros is Megillah balayla lushanosa biyom. We have another aspect that I think is really interesting. So how does the Gemara come to the conclusion that it really means to read the Megillah again? What example does it give? Yeah, isn't it interesting? Like, from the world of Talmud Torah itself. Evor parsha sada, I will review this parsha ve'esnaya, and then I'll review it again. Like, we can't escape the giant shadow of Limud HaTorah hanging over this sugya. I don't know if we want to escape it. So number one, the dual din. Number two, the havamina, that it's really about learning during the day. And then 2A, as I call it, right? The fact that it's, I'll learn this parsha and then I'll review it. And then finally, right, the Gemara insists that there's a chiyuv to read it and then to read it again. But what changes between the Maimer of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Ula Bira'a? They agree about Chayav Adam Likros Es Megillah Balayla Lishanos HaBiyom, but good. So are those sources similar, different?
The first verse seems a little more explicit.
Because it references Yom Balayla. I hear. Good. Good observation. What about their character? Gabi?
I guess the first source has to do more on the person, doing it themselves, and the second source is focusing more on doing it for Hashem.
Okay, good. I think you're pointing us in the right direction. We just try to sharpen it, Micah.
There's no good aspect of Kriya in the second source.
Ah, so the actual term of Kriya. There is a term of Zemira. Ah, we're getting really close now. Shevach v'hoda, the second one. So let's just try to drill down on that. Ilan, what's the thematic distinction? If you only knew the first source, and somebody would ask you, like, what do you think the nature of Kriya HaMegillah is? What kind of practice do you think this is? Ari?
Maisa.
Right, so there's definitely a Maisa Kriya.
The second one is hinting towards a more Prusimini aspect.
No question. And what about the first one? The
first one is more just a Kriya.
Okay. Is it? Right, so I would say Elokai Ekra Yomam Velosana Velailo Velodum Yali is this wailing petition. So there's a real, you know, motif of Tsar and Sara, Divrei Hatzomos Vizakasam. The second Limud takes it as, you know, unbridled Shevach Vehoda. It's diametrically opposite. Labriut. Okay. Let's have a look at the Rambam.
Kriyas HaMegillah b'zman mitzvah aseh nedivrei tzofrim, v'advar midurim shita karnas hanadir. L'chol chayavim b'kriyas ha'nachim v'nashim megirim v'vadim b'shuchrarim. L'chal kenes ektanim mikrosov, v'kid ekonim b'avodasim v'vadim avodasim v'vadim l'shmo mikra megillah, v'chim v'vadim tam tor l'shmo mikra megillah.
Right, once you can, it's a difficult kavachomer is the truth, but the way the Rambam seems to be saying it is that once you know that Mikra Megillah is Docha Talmud Torah, so now clearly it should be Docha all other mitzvahs in the Torah. Now, what's a little bit strange about that, we have a lot of inside information about this, is what?
Does that we know that it doesn't apply to Talmud Torah?
Right. And it's a pretty safe bet to realize that the Rambam knew that also. Like, we'd probably bet our children on it. So, what do you think the Rambam is suggesting here? it's not just, you know, a Talmud Torah connected Kulam perspective. I think the Rambam might be highlighting or echoing something that we saw subtly in the Gemara. Yeah, right. So that here, I mean, very specifically on the context of Purim, if you're going to tell me that you have to interrupt your Torah learning on Purim to hear the Megillah, then for sure you'd have to interrupt anything else, because Torah learning on Purim is like really important. Okay. Those words, v'achar kach kore, what does that teach us in terms of lamdus? Give me one word that explains the relationship between Meis Mitzvah and Mikra Megillah. I'll give you a hint. It's not otra, but it's dechuya, right? Anytime we know that there's a priority, you always have to ask, is it otra or dechuya? V'achar kach kore means, of course, it's dechuya. Meis Mitzvah pushes off Mikra Megillah, but even there, Mikra Megillah isn't hotra. It's not like a person doesn't have to do it all together. Okay, so a couple of Aaros. So how does the Rambam present the Chiyuv of Mikra Megillah by Yom Uvalayla? Would you say that he presents them as two separate dinim, or as more as an integrated din?
Seems more integrated.
Yeah, I would agree, right? Mitzvah Lekrosa Balayla Vayom. And then he specifies the Cholayla Kasha Lekriyas Alayla, the Chol Yom Kasha Lekriyas Yom. I would think that if he was really separating them, he would say Chayav Lekrosa Balayla, the Cholayla Kasha Lekriyas Alayla, the Chayav Lekrosa Bayom, the Chol Yom Kasha Lekriyas Yom. I would probably say it that way. He doesn't. What might be for the Rambam like another indication that it's a very, very integrated performance? Another indicator? Right, right. If you saw them as two distinctive elements, you probably would be open to the idea of a Shachianu. You're not just repeating it. You're now doing Kriyas HaMegillah Shel Yom, just like, you know, Kriyas Shema Shel Shachris and Kriyas Shema Shel Arvis. And? Ah, okay, good. Okay, good. So, a little bit tangential, but just kind of important to me just to see what you guys think about this. What about the Bracha Le'achareha? Remember, we're talking about the different motifs that you find in the Gemara. Yeah, Yonatan, how do you see that?
It certainly seems more like the source of Ulav, that it's more big of Hodah. That this is kind of the way we wrap up the Megillah, is by declaring that this kind of demonstrates that Hashem is always protecting us.
He's the Kel HaMoshiach, right? The Yeshuos. I hear. Gavi?
I think, I think it's more focused on the first source. As we said, the first source was Moed Tzar, and at the end it says, Rodha Hashem Adifol Yisrael Mikol Sarayim, about HaKel HaMashiach.
Okay, so I'm going to say that I think both Yonatan and Gavi are right, even though they said opposite things. So to me, it actually captures both themes pretty well, right? The idea of the struggle, Ravis Rivenu, the idea of the suffering of the Jewish people. There's no nekama to speak of, hanokemis nekmasenu, unless something, you know, we talk about kel nekamos Hashem a lot today, in terms of the pogrom of October 7th, right? That's because there's great suffering. Tzareinu makes a number of appearances. Nifra lanu mit tzareinu, nifra l'Yisrael mikol tzareihem, and certainly Akel HaMoshiach. So I actually think it's quite appropriate to both motifs, and I'd like to come back to that idea. Yeah, Micah, go ahead.
Was the fact that the Rambam legislating the Halakha Megillah and the Shas HaNisim, which is more the Sheva and Pursuing Nisa aspect, but he's not legislating the Bracha HaRad, is that he prioritizes the Pursuing Nisa and Sheva aspects more than the Tzara?
Yeah, I don't know if I would have picked up on that necessarily, if not for a very obvious indication that we'll get to later on, that the Rambam certainly does privilege that. What am I referring to? I mean, I think you're on the right track. I'm just commending your subtle observation. How do you know that the Rambam privileges the second source, the Ula Bira source? Good. Nach besser. You're in the right parsha.
Uh-huh.
The Rambam paskins of the three deos in the Gemara, Kriyasa, Zo, Halila. Lamani Zmer Chavod Loidam Hashem Lokel Medaka. There's subtle observation on your part. You got the subtle part. Okay. Yeah. So the point that maybe most interests me for now is the idea of, you know, Limud HaTorah and Mikra Megillah, that, oh, if you have to move on to Limud HaTorah for Mikra Megillah, then you really must have to stop anything. Okay. Next Gemara.
I'm a Shuvan lady. Perm Shakal Yasku Shabbos. Shalom Midorashim bin Yano Shayom. My area for him. At the Yom Tov Nami, the Tanya Moshe Tikin Hemin Sashi, Shalom Midorashim bin Yano Shayom. Tachos Petach, Petach, Tachos Ataras, Bataras, Tachos Chad Bukhar. Perm Itzrichalei. Maltema Nigzer Mishim the Rabba Kamashmala.
Right, so the same logic that applies to not carrying the Megillah around might apply to your Purim Sefer of choice, de jure, whatever you like to do. Rimon, he came in for that Shabbos, he gave me his Purim Sefer. That's very nice. So you wouldn't want to be carrying that around on Shabbos either. From the perspective of the Melacha Grua of Hotzah, it's all the same, you know? Okay, so let's take a look at Rashi. Hopefully some good material, right? It's a good word. So yeah, so this is, I think, an extraordinary Gemara. But it depends, you know, how one takes it. So you could theoretically conceptualize Purim Shechalios B'Shabbos within the framework of the Din Klali. Yonatan, do you mind just establishing the Din Klali for us? This, as we talked about, it comes from the Gemara in Lamed Beis. Right, so let's just make sure we see it inside. Yeah. So it doesn't sound like it actually has to formally be a moed, which of course would be problematic in the context of Purim because it's not formally a yontif, but, you know, me'in yana diyoma, bin yano shal yom. So Rashi says something which is, I think, very provocative, you know, intellectually provocative. Vayidaber Moshe es Madei Hashem b'nei Yisrael. So, what's so striking about Rashi's formulation? So it's, you know, in the Gemara, the three examples are Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, Pesach, Atzeres, and Chag. You know, the whole discussion, why don't Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur appear here? The Marashah comments, you know, you shouldn't think that Tshuva is only relevant on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Interesting. But what language is the Rashi out of nowhere just appealing to? Kimu v'kiblu. Kimu v'kiblu screams Purim. Oh. So I think with a twinkle in his eye and a smile on his face, you know, at the end of Masechta Megillah, I think. But I think he was also onto something very profound. Kiblu v'kimu schar hamitzvos aleihem v'al b'neihem, right? Aleihem v'al zaram, b'zeu v'ba'a. Rashi is undoubtedly alluding to the idea of, you know, Hilchos Megillah b'Megillah. Erchayiv Adam likros es Megillah b'alayla lishnosa b'yom, saver, you know, masnisen didei. Right? Rashi said that Purim Shechalios b'Shabbos, that's not just the Havamina, now it's the Maskana. The idea would be that the way that you experience is al yedei, you know, the drasha of the Meturgaman, you should have some good material. Analyze, you know, the themes of the Megillah. So much to talk about. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah famously tells us that Megillah, you could have 10 people read it at once. It's not subject to the din of Trei Kali Lo Mishtami. Why? Zarya, Rosh Hashanah Bikiyas, Daf Chaf Zayin. What's special about it? Agav. When does the din of Trei Kali Lo Mishtami never apply? If you're dealing with a mitzvah that Agav Chavivus say, right? There's a special Chavivus. Bikiyas. So all kinds of good things to talk about in the Megillah. My son David, who will be 5 in June, his favorite subject for Drasha is Bigtan and Teresh. Very into Bigtan and Teresh. He sees them as very, very important figures in the Megillah. Wants to know all about their plot. Told him about the Gemara that says that one of them switched into the other's Mishmar. Fascinated by that. Told his Mora. Wants to know which one it was. It's not clear from the Gemara. Lots to say about Big Ton and Teresh. A lot of material there. You have like a all day long drasha. But by the way, there's a lot, you know, it's not just, you know, the fascinating plot itself, but a lot came, not just from the fact that, you know, that was the Geula li Yisrael, Kol Omer Davar B'Shem Amro, maybe Geula Olam, Batom Rasul Melech Hashem Mordechai, but it goes beyond that. Why do you think Achashverosh, you know, did a shake-up afterwards? Acharat Dvarim Ma'ila Gidal HaMelech Achashverosh or something. If you can't trust your own bodyguards, you got to shake things up. Not only that, but why do you think he had this rule that nobody was allowed to come see him without, you know, pre-registering? You know, you can't trust your own bodyguards. You gotta, you know, rules. Nobody's allowed to get near him. You know, Putin. Apparently nobody's allowed to get near him. He sits at the end of tables by himself. A germaphobe. So there's a lot. There's a lot to say about Big Ton and Teresh. So that's the way that Rashi understood. And Rashi seems to, like, you know, allude to the fact that there's a special yichus to this din, Hilchos Pesach Pesach, Hilchos Aseres V'Aseres, Hilchos Chag V'Chag, and, you know, like Rashi can't help himself, Kimu V'Kiblu. But maybe this idea reaches an even greater expression in the context of the Rambam. For two reasons. So you want to tell, let's take a look. In Koranis and Megillah B'Shabbos, okay. So Yonatan, first tell me the point of distinction between Rashi's presentation of that Gemara and the Rambam's substantively, and then the Rambam's point of amplification, where he seems to have fundamentalized this din.
Well, Rambam seems that it's explicit by Shabbos.
Right. Well, that's what the Gemara said, right? The Gemara that we were talking about on Daf Dalet, right? Purim Shechalios B'Shabbos Sholin V'Darshin Binyano Shol Yom, right? That's the context. It was a Hava Mina in the context of just in general, Chayvadim the Christus of Megillah Balayla, Lishno Sabayom, the Gemara said, oh, that means that every year you would just, right? But we know, Aliba de Hilchasa, don't worry, we're going to save Purim every year in Talmud Torah. Not. But I'm just saying, this is now the second major indication. But substantively, yeah, Gavi?
The Gemara says that it's a mitzvah to say, to read it during its time. But Rambam says that if it falls down the Shabbos, you have to do the before Shabbos.
Right, this is a Gzeira Deraba issue. But what was Rashi's curriculum in terms of what you'd spend the day doing? I just gave you like a little bit of a preview. So that's Rashi on Lamed Beis. So that's important. But Rashi Al-Atar, good. So you're... Right, so you're talking... Yeah, that's just saying, you know... If it were me, I might, you know, focus my remarks on Big Ten and Teresh. Now, really, I've been talking much more this year about Haman and genocidal anti-Semitism. But with David, I do talk about Big Ten and Teresh mostly. So the Rambam, clearly, didn't understand that way. What did the Rambam say? What's his curriculum? Oh, Teresh Balpeh. I think probably the Rambam wanted to talk about what should you do if somebody wants to make his hamotzi and hamintashin. What would you be? Yotze midei safek with maram. That would be an interesting discussion. But then the Rambam fundamentalizes it in an extraordinary way. So that's the first observation. Hilchos Purim, as opposed to just the Megillah. Core Talmud Torah. Nothing wrong with learning Torah Shebichzav. I'd like to do it both ways. You know, I would do half and half. But you know, so where do you see the Rambam fundamentalize the din? All right, this is one of these lines in the Rambam that we'd be tempted to make it up if it wasn't there. It's that good. Kedei lahazkir shupurim. I mean, you know, there's so many ways that a person could, Elon, you know, be more cognizant of the fact that it's Purim. Lahazkir Shehu Purim. You know, I could say, well, Lahazkir Shehu Purim, maybe we're going to have people put on their costumes, you know, after lunch. You know, we can make up a Purim Gramin on Shabbos. That would be, remind everybody. Elon came in second place in the Kohak. All those kids are really good at math. You know, like that. And we would know that it was Purim. But what's the apparently the Rambam felt that if you really want to remind people that it's Purim, if you really want people to understand, ah, it's Purim, what's the trigger? What's the mechanism? Hilchos Purim. You can just put up a big sign that says it's Purim. Because if there's nothing that, you know, penetrates the mahus of the day, like saying Hilchos Purim, should we make a Shachianu the second day? Because that's the essence of the day. So first, it's Chayvad and Likros and Megillah Balalish Nosabayom and Nahavamina, that it really means to learn the Mishnayos all day. Amazing. And even that subtle point in the Gemara that, no, even when it says to do the Megillah, it really means, you know, Evor, Parsha, Sadah, Vesnaya, then the Rambam's Kal V'Chomer from Talmud Torah, which can't be about Osik Mitzvah, Patur Mina Mitzvah, it has nothing to do with that. It's about how Talmud Torah would be like the Iker of Purim, Megillah. Then we have the Kimu V'Kiblu, Rashi, out of nowhere. Now we have, you know, the Rambam's Kedei L'Hazkir Shu Purim. We're building up this case, right? You're just seeing it in all directions, that somehow the essential, you know, quality of Purim is captured by Limud HaTorah, by, and for the Rambam specifically, Halachos, I think is very dramatic. Yeah, Micah.
It sounds like the Rambam's
I agree, and I think for the Rambam it really is a din prati. It's not just, you know, yeah, it's sholem b'dorshin, just like you have, you know, hilchos pesach, hilchos chag b'chag, but you wouldn't say that. Oh, you know why? You know why you're doing hilchos pesach, the hazkir shu pesach. Oh, I think it enhances the yontif experience. I think for the Rambam this is much more fundamental than that. Okay, so Tosfos, just to, you know, provide like a contrasting view of this din. So Mayur Yapurim, afilu yamtif nami.
Joseph Goldberg, any type of Mitzvah, Fickle Seed's office, please.
Right. So Tosos highlights a different aspect of this, exactly trying to isolate this question of Din Klali Din Prati. So Tosos says, right, Mayer Purim Din Darshin Bo Mikod Lachen Shoshim Yishim Hachi Lidrash Bo Bayom Afilo Biyam Te Darshin and Shoshim Yom Lefanav Afilo Hachi Darshin Bo Bayom. So Tosos wants to point out that maybe the dynamics in Purim really are a little bit different. Why? Right, it doesn't have this preparatory aspect that the regular yomtiv has. To the regular yomtiv, there's a preparatory aspect and there's a bobayom aspect. In Purim, all that you have is the bobayom aspect. So Tosfos seems to be coming from the standpoint of saying, well, yeah, well, so then obviously by Purim, you're going to need to be dorish those halachos on that day because you haven't been doing it for 30 days. It's a bigger chiddush by the other ones. I think what the Rambam would tell you is that, Mike, and this is what you were asserting, is that no, this isn't like, well, you're just trying to practically understand what to do and you didn't have 30 days to review. So Mela, you know, of course, Tosa says you should have Sholin Vidorshin on the day itself because you didn't have it for 30 days. So we know that, you know, you have to do something. It's nothing to do with like, you know, just discovering what one is supposed to do, that there's a din of a su'ud and a din of shalach manos and a din of matanos levyonim. I think it's about that. I think it's about like the essence of the day. And to me, it's perfect. It's not about preparation. If there was, there should be a sholin v'dorshin shloshim yom kodem hapurim. It's about the experience of the day itself. Yeah, Yonatan, go ahead.
According to the Rambam, if we're sholin v'dorshin shloshim kodem hapurim, the whole point is to ask if you're firm, how is today any different than yesterday when we were also discussing the Yom Kippur?
Right, so I think for the Rambam, the fact that there is no din of Shoshim Yom Kodem Achag highlights the point even more. It has nothing to do with preparation. It has to do with the fact that it's Purim. Okay, so let's pick up a couple of the comments here in Rashi on the original Gemara, then we'll be over to the Gemara in Arachin and deeper into this. Oh, so Rashi immediately picks up that the first makar is about za'aka, tivei atzomos v'za'aka sam. Ekra, mizmor lamatzeach alayel sashachar hu, shenemar. Ayala sashachar. So Rashi already captured the fact that these two sources are diametrically opposed. One is about Za'aka, and what's about the opposite of Za'aka? Za'aka gdala mara shavach voda, for sure. Okay. So the Gemara in Arachin, we don't have to see the whole thing inside because, you know, we've seen it many, many times, but I want to read this section about Purim, is, you know, where we learn, you know, about the criterion for Halal. So Noah, right, we have three basic criterion for Halal. Shmona Asar Yom, Sheyachid Gomer Ben Asa Halal, it has to be a Moed, it has to be Minat Torah. And we know that there has to be Ikdish Basiyas Melacha, there has to be Kedusha Sayom. And the way the Rav put it, that Kedusha Sayom has to be singular, hence Chalukin Bekarben Hoseihen. The Kedusha Sayom of Pesach is not distinctive, as opposed to Sukkos. So then we have the bigger problem of, you know, Chanukah, Lozev, 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 strike one, strike two, strike three, and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in the other direction. It's three for three, but it doesn't qualify. So as we said over Chanukah, that's exactly the point, that it has to do with the essence of the day. Halal is an expression of the character of the day. So Chanukah, Yimei, Halal Behoda. That's the essence of the day. As I said at the time, there's no din of Kriyas Halal on Chanukah. It's a Yom Halal. Especially true in terms of, you know, the conceptualization of Hadlakas HaNeros as a Maisa Hoda. Ahosif B'Sheva Chayel V'Hodaya Lo Anisim Sha'asalanu Lashon of the Rambam. And Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur in the opposite direction. Of course, they're Moadim. Of course, there's a Kedusha Sayom. Of course, it's Chalukin V'Karben Hosein. But it's Yimei Yira Tshuva V'Fachad V'Lo Yimei Simcha Yisera. So how does Purim fit into the mix? So, interesting, Gemara thinks that Purim is a legitimate candidate. Because once you open the door by saying Chanukah, Mishum Nisa, so why not Mishum Nisa? So let's take a look. Chanukah lohachi lohachi v'kamar mishum nisa. So says the Gemara, Purim di'ika nisa lema. Purim was an ace. After all, we say shasa nisim lavosenu bayami mahem bazman azaz. So what's the... Yes, so how do you interpret that? What's the nature of that? Yeah, so just elaborate. Like, why wouldn't it be worthy? I don't know. Something great happened in the Chutz Lars.
It's always going to be a little bit, meaning we know we're still under the reign of Achashverosh.
Well, that's a separate answer. I caught the Avdi Achashverosh. Let's hold off on that.
So, just that it's not like appropriate to say halal if it wasn't an exosome.
Why not? Right, just sharpen a little bit. Both of you are saying important and true things, but try to sharpen it.
It's not a complete victory.
Excellent. To some extent, you have to acknowledge that even if there's a victory and a salvation here, the overall picture is still not good. Because when Klal Yisrael, when things are going well for Klal Yisrael, when there's a true Yeshua, Klal Yisrael should be in Eretz Yisrael, like, right? Galus is an onesh. So everything you said is true, but that's what I was looking for, is that to really have a halal, there has to be, you know, a certain completion to that, you know, a geula. That's at least one of the perspectives. It's like, today's NFL, the players celebrate, you know, as yechidim. So if they're losing 42-0 and some guy gets a sack, he still does a dance. Because it's the din of the gavra. So that, when I was growing up, so celebrations were always a din in the tzibur. You never, by definition, if you were losing, you didn't dance, no matter what you did. So the Gemara holds, according to the Shita, that, yeah, this individual community, you know, or whatever, these Jews may have experienced, it could be many communities, it could be 127 Medinos. But it doesn't really matter, because the only thing that's Mechayiv Ahalal is a Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. It's a stira minei uve. It's a powerful concept. Okay. So that's one answer. Mask of Nachri, it's Chari, it's Yisrael, it's Nation, it's Chod Saretz, it's Amin and Halil. It's
Office, Mickey Sorrel, there, Kanya, and David, and
Tone.
Right, so this is the Raya, Vihiano Senes, right? The whole point is that if you haven't yet come into Eretz Yisrael, and the whole Jewish nation is on the way in, so that's okay. Okay, another answer.
Nachman Amar, Kriyasa Zel Halilah. Rabbi Amar, Krishla Mahasam Halu Abdeshem, Blo Abde Faro, Hasa Halu Abdeshem, Blo Abde Abashfer. Akasi Abde Abashfer.
Oh. So you have three different answers. One of them is really interesting about Eretz Yisrael, but let's leave that to the side. You understand? What can you tell us about the two answers of Akati Avdi Achashvero Shanan and Kriyasa Zo Halila? That spectrum might mirror what that we already saw? Yeah. I think that's exactly right. They were trying to figure out, what is this really? L'man yizabercha chavod v'lo yidom. It is a halal. Yom HaMekra V'losana V'layla V'lodom Yali, it says Zaka. Because Akati Avdi Achashverosh Hanan doesn't really have a happy ending. So as we know, the Rambam paskins that the reason we don't have Halal on Purim, Shekriya Samegillah Hiya Halal. He wants to go in that direction. He's taking sides in the Gemara. It's one. So here's what we know about Shitas HaRambam. The experience of Megillah, Chayva and Likros and Megillah Balayla, Shnosa Bayom, is an integrated act. Kriyasa Megillah Balayla Bayom, the way that he formulates it, hence no Shachianu. And which side does he come down on? Ula Bira. Lamani Zemer Chavol Idom, Hashem Elokai, Liolam Odeka. There is, however, a dissenting perspective in Tosos. So Tosos Megillah and Dalet Amud Aleph, Chayavon Likros Megillah Balayla L'Shnos Bayom, and this is of course picked up by the Rama.
Oh.
So the Rish says you do make a separate Shachianu, and the Ikar Persume Nisa is during the daytime. Which might open the door to the, I mean, you're still reading the same text at night, but what might Tosfos have been driving at here? Especially the way that we practice it, right? That we say, when you make the Shachianu and the Kriya Bayom, what should people keep in mind? All the dinim of Simcha, right? Seuda, Shalach Manos, Yemei Mishdev Simcha. There's no din Simcha at night. So, Yenison, you want to maybe make a suggestion for Tosos?
Yeah, this is the first time we've seen that the Yom is the Iker, rather than the Lion.
Or at least it's Iker in terms of the Shevach component.
So
Right. Okay. So what I would suggest is that there's, as opposed to the Rambam, who's very emphatic on integrating Chayav Adam Likros Samigila Balayla Shanosa Bayom, like the language of the Gemara, which you can understand, I think the perspective of the Bali Tosos lends itself to the analysis that maybe Kriyas Megillah isn't one or the other, it's both. The Kriyas Megillah Balayla isn't affiliated with any Din Simcha. It might emerge more naturally from the world of Yom HaMekra V'lo Sana V'layla V'lo Dom Yali. That's the Akati Avdi Achashverosh Anan reading, and then you can come back the next day. And in the context of the dinim of Simcha, Su'udas Purim, Shalachmanos, etc., then you have the Kriya with its own Shechionu, because it's not the same. I think all of this is really heightened by the fact that in most years, not this year, but in most years, the way that we Bidavka experience reading Megillah at night is that it's integrated into the Tainus. Divrei Hatzomos Vizakasa. So maybe another way, one final way for the day, and then I'll give you guys some time to prepare the second half of the sugya, is to assess a Gemara at the very, very beginning of the Masechta. So we know Zmanim harbe tiknulehem, the kayemitz yimei apurim ha'ila bizmanehem, zmanim harbe, megillah nikreis, yid aleph, yid beis, yid gimel, yid dalet, tesvav. So the Gemara, you know, wants to try to prove those different days. And yid gimel, the Gemara says, doesn't really need a raya. Amar Shmuel bar Yitzchak, shlosha asar. Okay, so what does that mean, zman kihila lakol? So, last thing I wanted to show you is the machlokas here between Rashi and the perspective of the Balei Tosfos, which is also the Shiltos. So Rashi says, Zman kila lakol hi. It's so obvious that you can read the Megillah because that's the day of the great salvation. That's Rashi. The She'iltos, quoted by the Agos Maimonios, amongst many others. They don't like Rashi's approach. From the Rabbi Nutam quotes it, he says, what? Does it say Zman Milchama Lakol? No, it means Zman Kihila Lakol, Shabo. Kihila, Yom. Oh, so according to the She'iltos, what's... Oh, so obviously you can read the Megillah on Yud Gimel because that's the day of the... So that understands the Megillah very much as Za'aka. If you say, no, the opposite. It's so obvious that you can read the Megillah on the 13th because that's the day of the... Nes, and what is it anyway? It's Halal al Hanes. So two different makoros, two different readings, the machlokes and the Shachianu. The connection with the din of Simcha, Zman Kihila, Zman Milchama. I think that's the best way of assessing it. There are really two. It's amazing how they say, if you want to know the greatness of the Megillah, the Chavivus of the Megillah, it's that the same text can connote, you know, two very opposite themes. Even non-briskers would have to admit that it's a highly dialectical experience. Okay. So the question that we would like to continue to address is the question of that, what I call the giant shadow of Talmud Torah lurking over Purim. The Havamina of always learning the Mishnayos by day, Purim Shechalios B'Shabbos, Hilchos Purim B'Purim, Lahazkir Shehu Purim, the Kal V'Chomer of Talmud Torah to every other mitzvah, in the Rambam, even though it has nothing to do with Osek Mitzvah, Pater Mina Mitzvah. So that is what we are going to devote ourselves to going forward. I'll make a note. We're going to start with the 18th source. Okay. Azari, you want to take the Rambam for us? Divrei Hatzamos Vizaakasam. Right. So the Rambam reiterates, you know, as if we didn't know that halach already, the principle of Akdume Puranusa Lo Mikadminan. It happens like every other year, Tisha B'Av. Chalios B'Shabbos, right? Nidche. Melo Shivasar B'Tamas as well. So it's, you know, for all of the Ubros and the Medikos, you know, it's a big impact because, you know, they're not obligated at all. So clearly, I mean, the natural inference is what, Azaria? That Tainis Esther, if you can move it up, is not considered to be Bechezkas. Right, so but what word would be inaccurate to apply to Tainis Esther? Puranus, right? Akdume Puranus lo mikadminan. So only if it's, you know, Puranus, you can't move it up, but it's not Puranus. Puranus means something terrible happened. Tainis Esther doesn't fall into that category because it's not about something terrible that happened, it's about something terrible that was about to happen. And the Jews averted it. Frankly, in that way, it's a lot more like the Tanios del Raisa structure for the Rambam, right? Leich kenosis kol yidum v'tzimu alai v'altochlu v'altishtu shloshes yamim laila v'yom gamani v'na arusaya tzum kein uvechein, you know, avol amelach asher lo chadas v'asher v'chasher avadati, that, you know, the basic idea is that the Divrei Hatzomos v'Zakasam was to avoid, you know, catastrophe befalling the community. Like the Rambam talks about in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tanios, you know, Mitzvahs Ase Mina Torah, Lizokul Harial Kol Tzara, Shalo Savo Al Tzibor. And then Midivrei Sofrim, we have a Tainis, which is meant to provide the, you know, the structure or the ambience for, you know, that experience. So Divrei Hatzomos v'Zakasam, and this is all contra the Ibn Ezra, very famous, right? The Ibn Ezra talks about a Divrei Hatzomos v'Zakasam, is talking about how there could be a permission structure to establish Purim, you know, and he says, yeah, but this is what happened with the Arba Tzomos, right? Kasher Kibu al Nasham v'al Zaram, Divrei Hatzomos v'Zakasam, you could have Purim because you also have this model by the Tanios that the Jews chose to accept that. It's not formally required, unless you're, you know, in a time of Churban, as Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches, as you guys are all aware. So for the Rambam, it's a totally different interpretation. Divrei Hatzomos v'Zakasa means that the Jewish people accepted, you know, upon themselves in the days of Mordechai and Esther, this 3 days of Tzomos and their cries. And that becomes the basis of the Minhag Yisrael to fast, you know, Bishlosha Asar Be'adar Zecher Latinus Shehis Anu. I think it's really interesting. It doesn't say Bimei Mordechai Vester, but Bimei Haman. Why do I say Bimei Haman? Why would the Rambam choose Bimei Haman?
It's like that was like the imposing
threat. That was the threat. Beautiful. That's the Diuk. Excellent. So, And if you read the pasuk, you know, itself, you know, it really sounds, you know, that what's going on here, Divrei Hatzomos v'Zaakasam, is about not just that generation, but there's an understanding that it's going to be perpetuated forward, you know, to future generations as well. So I think that's a very fascinating idea, that the minhag is really deeply rooted in what the Jewish self-understanding is. So it's not Puranos, it's the threat of horrific Puranos. It's Koltsara Shalotavo Al Tzibor. It's the threat that Haman posed and the understanding that that recurs generationally. Bechol Dor Vador, Omdim Aleinu V'chaloseinu. It's not arbitrary that the events of Purim took place on Pesach. There's many layers of connection there. Okay. So this, I think, is a critical idea. The Tainus Esther isn't Puranos, it's about avoiding Puranos. So it continues to be relevant in all generations. It's a generational day. It's the day that we mark the idea of impending catastrophe. That's what is sort of so appropriate about this year's observance in general, is that, you know, we're pleading called Sara Shalotavo Al Tzibor for the Chatufim and for Hamas to be destroyed. And, you know, these are existential issues for Klal Yisrael. That's, like, you couldn't imagine a better framework for these kinds of tefillos. Okay, so that, I think, is a very good place to pivot a little bit to begin to discuss, you know, the Limud HaTorah aspect, which we detailed extensively, and now we're ready to bring the point home. Okay, so let's take a look at some of the psukim at the end of, towards the end of Perek Tes. This is in the 20th source. Okay, so this is going to be an inviolate experience every single year, b'chol shana v'shana. Lo yasuf mizaram. Okay, so this pasuk v'mei apurim ho'ele lo yavru mitocha yehudim v'zichram lo yasuf mizaram have to be understood. Is this prescriptive? Is it descriptive? Kind of a promise. So let's take a look at the Rambam, who has admittedly a very radical shita to try to establish what his makor is. She'inan betelin le'olam. The afalpi. Okay, so there's two facets, Lashita Sarambam, that are perpetual. Yimei HaPurim Ha'ele, are themselves inviolate, as well as Megillas Esther. Now, the point that the Rambam was making, let's start with the second point first. In some ways it's easier. So the Rambam says, all of the tsaros that we've endured throughout our history, all of those will be forgotten. But what will be remembered, as if this is tsaros, Yonatan?
We're going to forget all the tzaros, but Esther's is not about the tzara, it's about a tzara that almost happened.
So one way of looking at it is that this tzara will be remembered, and be like, well, why would you remember this tzara? But I think Yimei HaPurim will be remembered. I think the point is because it's not explicitly a tzara, it's a tzara that was avoided. Ish tzara ve'oyev haman haran hazeh, so rare kol ha-yehudim. So we'll remember Lasid Lavo, that in every generation we encountered annihilationist anti-Semitism. And that just happened. You know, Simchas Torah, Tavshin Peidal, it is one of the most important days in any of our lives. It's an encounter with this immutable truth of Jewish history. And Yimei HaPurim, the idea that there was a cherev chada munachas al tzavarenu, that will be eternally remembered. So in conjunction with that, the Megillah. So the Rambam is laying out a doctrine which is extremely, you know, provocative. Like the Sifrei Nevi'im and Ksuvim could actually become batel. Part of the reason that that's so provocative is because the Rambam is, you know, Eish Lahava, that halacha can never change. You know, Zos HaTorah, Lo Sehem Uchlafes, Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. The Rambam, you know, vociferously argues that Torah is immutable. So, if you don't have these texts anymore, what exactly do you do? But be that as it may, the Rambam says that's why you need the core of Torah Shebichsav, Chamisha Chomshei Torah, the halachos of Torah Shebal Peh, and somehow Megillah Esther. The question is, you know, how does Megillah Esther fit into that rubric? It's not just Harehi Kayemes, but it's Harehi Kayemes Ke Chamisha Chomshei Torah Uche Halachos of Torah Shebal Peh. So this was a bridge way too far for the Ravid, and the Ravid objects, you know, at a principled level, and then also sort of like Lashita Sarambam. So Amar Avram.
Amar Avram, who is that?
Right, that's not a compliment. All right, so, you know, the Ravid says it maybe just means, not that the Rambam was saying this, but maybe, you know, what Chazal had in mind, that we'll have to look for the, you know, the source. The Rambam doesn't tell us what his source is, but, you know, it just means that there aren't going to be public krios. You know, they're not going to be reading Eich anymore in Tisha B'Av, and that would make sense because, you know, Yula Beis Yehuda L'Sasson L'Simcha. All right, you know, and not that the Sfaradim read it anyway, but, you know, Kohelas in the Ashkenazim will give up reading that, or, you know, whatever it is. There won't have to be a Haftorah anymore. There could, I don't, you know, for the great supporters of the Kiddush Club, I don't think they'll be too happy. And it doesn't sound like it's going to be replaced with the Kiddush Club. It just, you know, sounds like it just might abbreviate Shul. So, you know, the Rambam definitely wasn't saying that. But the Shitaso, the Ravid is pointing out, he says, look, if you're really the Rambam here, Levi She'ein Sefer, She'ein Bolimud. So how does this integrate and synthesize with the Rambam's own view? You know, like, what do you get, where do we get the concept of Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos from? Those are fundamental halachos. You know, it's in the Navi Yeshayo. V'karasul Shabbos Oneg, V'kdosh Hashem V'chubad, V'chibatam Yasos T'rachacha, Mimtzo Chatzucha V'daber Davar, you know, Az Tisanagal Hashem, So, the Ravid's not really sure what the Rambam is trying to say. The Magen Mishnah tries a walk back here, as Arya, right? As he says, Amar Magia, Chenucha Liyashev, Shekavan Asarav. Right. Which is definitely not what he's saying. I mean, with enormous, enormous respect for the Magen Mishnah, it's obvious that the Rambam isn't saying that. What word did he use? Batel. Batel means batel. Batel mevutal. So the question is, you know, what is his source? So there's a Medrash in Mishlei that got a lot of attention, but I'm a skeptic myself that this is really the Rambam's source. Pretty sure that we can identify it, but let's be thorough about it. So there's a Medrash in Mishlei that some people discuss as related to the Rambam. So if I was being skeptical on that point, I would say, Shekol Moadim Asidim B'Teilim, Yimei Apurim Enam B'Teilim L'Olam. Why is that probably not the Rambam Shita? What's that? Okay, with the second half of the Rambam, did the Rambam use the term Moadim? Did the Rambam imagine a world in which there wasn't Yom Kippur? Or, right, Zichron Atzaros. Shenemar Yimei Apurim Elo Yavu Mitocha Yehudim. So Amar Ablazar. Okay, so the Rashba was asked this question, you know, how do we relate to this Medrash in Mishlei, especially because the Rashba seems to concur with the Rambam's position that halacha is immutable. Okay, so let's go through it. Sha'alta.
You
Everybody get it? Mi hu zeh? Veizehu asherm la'oli bo lasos kain, right? You got to appreciate the wit. Who wouldn't want to hang out with the Rashba? Okay, umi who's that? Or in this case, Shikach Hashem b'tzion moed v'shabbat, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused it to be forgotten as a punishment for our dereliction. Aval b'mei apurim hivtiach, it's not a halacha, it's a havtacha. It's not prescriptive, it's descriptive. Right, it's the principle of, you know, itsumo shel yom mechaper. Okay, so the Rashba has a really interesting way of, you know, working out this medrash. He says, yeah, you know, basically the distinctive quality of Purim is that there's, you know, no guarantee that we'll have Chanukah every year. There's no guarantee that we'll have, Pesach every year. It could be that Avonos will cause us to miss these things. But Purim we're going to have every single year, which is so interesting. So I'll just point out something that happened, a story to this point that maybe, you know, getting close to 20 years ago now, sometime between 15 and 20 years ago. So when I first starting out, it's like really at the very, very beginning of Smicha, maybe when I was still in college, I don't remember. So I used to give this shiur on Sunday mornings, try to keep body and soul together a little bit. Those days, I was talking about this Rambam, and this, you know, Medrash and the Tshuvas HaRashba, and one of the guys who was there was, had grown up in what was then Leningrad, now St. Petersburg, former Soviet, very bright guy, you know, obviously had zero, you know, background, but always asked really good questions. He listened very carefully, very impressive kind of a person. And he commented to me after the shiur, said, you know, it's so interesting. The one thing that we had in the Soviet Union, of course, there was no religious freedom, no freedom of expression, no freedom of anything. And on the contrary, total suppression of Jewish religious practice at great personal expense, as we know. But the one thing he said that the KGB let go was Purim. They didn't have Megillahs to read. They didn't know about that. But they had a Purim spiel. Because the KGB didn't perceive that as religious. They thought, like, oh, it's just a comedy show. So I was amazed by that. It says that this Havtacha, that even in the environment of maximum religious oppression, right, maximum religious oppression, it was still something. It was the one thing. It was the one connection to Yiddishkeit that he had. You may have Purim Ha'ela, Lo Yavru Mitocha Yehudim, V'zichram Lo Yosef Mizaram. This is an extraordinary thing. In some shape or form, right? They were aware that it was Purim. It wasn't ever aware of Pesach or Chanukah, you know, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. That, he all, you know, thank God, God bless America, you know, that was observed there. Okay, so in truth, the Makor of the Rambam is the Yerushalmi. I say that with great confidence. So let's take a look at the Yerushalmi, and I think we'll see why, because the language is unmistakable. So there's that language, asidin libatel, right? Libatel probably means libatel, not kriyas haTorah b'tzibur. So notice, right, the lashon here, Reish Lakish's expansion of Rabbi Yochanan, right, that af Megillas Esther v'halachos in asidi batel, which means, right, that it's Chamisha Chomshei Torah, Halachos, and Megillas Esther. Which is exactly the way the Rambam puts it. Megillas Esther, Arei Kayemes, Ke Chamisha Chomshei Torah, Chalachos Shol Torah Shebal Peh. I don't think there's any question, you know, that that's what the Rambam had in mind. Now, in terms of the rationale, I think the rationale is obviously very important to try to get to the bottom of. So there is a Gemara in Nidarim, which may give us some insight as to why, you know, this should be the case. Like how can you do without Sefer Nevi'im Miksuvim? In particular, you need, you know, some form of an explanation as to what's going to happen with all of the halachos, you know, that are derived from these Sfarim. My guess would be is that he would say, like, once they're derived, they become part of the, you know, halachic tradition, Kavod Shabbos and Onik Shabbos and anything else that, you know, seems to be rooted in Divrei Kabbalah. But in terms of the rationale, there is a Gemara Nedarim, which probably it speaks this. Yeah, Yonatan, go ahead.
Perhaps Rambam had to say that as maybe like, I think it wasn't a Shabbat, they'll kind of be like so clear about
how long
the halachos are.
They
won't necessarily need
the
sources.
But why wouldn't that be true of Chamisha Chomshei Torah? Okay, so the Gemara Nedarim. Yeah, Micah. Yeah, so that is, as you can see, that is the exit that we're trying to get to on the highway. That's where we definitely want to go. Could not agree more that this is the heart of the issue. Okay, so Azariah, go ahead. So Amrav Adav Rabbi Chanina. Okay, so this Gemara is probably, at least to the best of my knowledge, the best explanation for how the Rambam could really countenance Sifrei Nevi'im and Ksuvim being batel, is the Gemara says they weren't entirely objectively necessary. They were necessary because of human frailty. So to get back to Yonatan's correct point, that during Yemos HaMashiach, you know, which is described as a time, V'umalach al aretz deyas Hashem, kamayim al-yam echasim, so there isn't going to need to be a full history of all of the tochachos that Klal Yisrael needed to get in Bechol Dor Vador regarding Avodah Zarah and Giloy Arayos and Shvichos Damim, all of that, and many more Averos as well, you know, because Halacha will continue to be relevant, but the struggle, this is actually particularly meaningful for the Ramban, I would say. The Ramban says that Yemos HaMashiach or Yamim Shein Ba'am Chepetz, there won't even really be Yetzer Hara anymore. The Ramban doesn't go so far. He says there will still be Bechira, but you know, the conditions will be so optimal for making the right choices that, you know, it will spiritually kind of, you know, emerge as a beatitude. I think that can explain it in large measure. That doesn't dot every I or cross every T because you have Sefer Yoshua here, but I think that's really what's going on. Okay, so now, as Micah was, you know, trying to point us in this direction, I think we're able to really pull everything together now. So this is the Gemara in Shabbos. It's such an oft-quoted source, but I don't think it's really generally very well explained or fully appreciated. So I'd like to present this as really the, you know, the climax of everything that we've been discussing. So Vayisatzu v'tachta sahar.
Okay.
So Muda Rabba Lo Raisa, meaning that this is like, you know, a profound objection to the Torah. You know, the Jewish people didn't really accept it, you know, willingly. They were coerced into it. If somebody says to you, you know, you can, you know, sign on the dotted line here, or, you know, we'll sign for you, you know, so what exactly does that even indicate? But Rava says, nevertheless, of all psukim, right? Rashi shouting out from the rooftops, Megillah daf lamed beis. The kimu v'kiblu, that refers to the embrace of the Kabbalah Satorah. When you study Hilchos Purim b'Purim, it's a kimu v'kiblu experience. And so it wasn't in any way an accident that the Gemara thought, oh, you'll read the Megillah at night and we'll learn the halachos during the day. That's the essence. And when you can't read the Megillah because it's Purim Shechalios B'Shabbos, hey, guess what? You do that. You do study the halachos. Because the essential act on Purim is to re-accept the Torah, just like the Jews did. You know, Hadar kibluha bimei Achashverosh. In which case, I really don't think there's a better way of saying Kidei Lahazkir Shehu, you know, Purim. In which case, I think the Rambam really was totally justified in saying that Talmud Torah, Kol Shekein L'Shaar Mitzvos, because a person who's studying Torah intensively on Purim is demonstrating that, you know, in terms of the point of the day, the telos of the day, he's there. And because Purim really connotes the perpetual Kabbalah Satorah, Hadar kibua bimei achashverosh, so it takes on the status of chamisha chomshei Torah and halachos shel Torah b'shabal peh. It has to be immutable. All other sifrei neviim and ksuvim are basically directed b'rov chachma b'rov kas at tochacha. Megillas Esther isn't about tochacha; it's about kabbalas haTorah. It's about the one inalienable element of Yemos HaMashiach, namely Torah and mitzvos themselves. If I had to use a halachic analogy, it's the, you know, Ede Kiyum. It's what validates the shtar. The Chamisha Chomshei Torah, the Halachos Shel Torah Shebal Peh, that Kabbalah Satorah is validated by the story of Megillas Esther. So what is that story? And this, you know, to return to themes that we've discussed, the real story within this story is the story of the assimilation of Klal Yisrael. This was the aftermath of Chorban Bayis Rishon. We know that Klal Yisrael came to Yechezkel and said, basically, we've been divorced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've been thrown out of the land, apparently the bris is over. And Yechezkel said, you know, that's not possible. But there was a sense of, you know, what is the future? The beginning of the Megillah says that Achashverosh was celebrating that fact. V'chelim, mikelim shonim, Nenu misudaso shalosa rasha, batzaltayim imacha mekarev, shiflos yadayim yidlof habayis. Talked about these ideas. So Purim is meant to be experienced as a Kabbalas HaTorah, because what happened? The Jews understood that their very existence depended on their return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a completely indispensable aspect of that is Tainus Esther. That's when all that action happened, right? Lech kenosis kol yudim b'tzumu alai v'al tochlu v'al tishtu shloshes yamim laila v'yom gam ani v'na arosai atzum kein uv'chein avol amelach asher lo chadas v'chasher avadati avadati. That Esther, despite the fact that she was Yisoma, totally, you know, captured basically in Achashverosh's palace, she understood that if the Jews are going to be able to survive this tzara, Bimei Haman, the Jews are going to have to return. Vitzumo alive, al tochu, al tishtu, shloshes yamim, laila vayom, Dibrei Hatzomos Vizakasam. And that led to a full embrace, as we know. Ora Vesimcha Vesason Vikar, Ora Zotora. Everything else followed, you know, and flowed from there. So you could understand if somebody was really intensively learning Torah and Purim, we'd hesitate to drag them out, but we still would do it for Mikra Megillah because they should remember this story. That when the Cherev Chada is Munachas al Tzavarenu, it's Mechayev us to be Mekabel the Torah anew. I think that's what we all experienced today, right? That's what it was meant to be. I think they were correct to do this, right? I was listening to the chief rabbi of the Kotel saying, hopefully it means something additional to us this year, our limud, our experience. I think that's really towards the essence of what these days are, the conjunctive experience. You really do need the dual aspect of Kriyas HaMegillah. You need to experience first, you know, the Divrei Hatzomos V'Zakasam, and then, you know, you need to experience the joy of Jewish salvation when we take that approach. Kol zichron atzaros asidin libatel, you know, but yimei hapurim ha'ela lo yibatlo v'zichram lo yasuf mizaram. So in that dimension, it seems to me that Talmud Torah and Purim is really an absolutely fundamental part of the, not just Purim Shechalios B'Shabbos, but all the time. I have much greater appreciation. When I was in 7th grade, I had a rabbi, the only Hasidish rabbi I ever had, Rabbi Meir Berler. All my other rabbeim were Litvaks. But I'm very grateful for Rabbi Berler. Rabbi Berler had a unique mahalich. He learned as the Hasidim learn. No, he learned, I should say, really as Litvaks learn. But he tested as the Hasidim test. And then I'll tell you what he said to me about Purim. So what were his bachinas? So what's a chassidus shebachina? Anybody know a chassidus shebachina in learning? They don't have, what's that? Yeah, by heart, right? So he would just make us learn the Gemara's by heart. So we'd have 3 blot, 5 blot, whatever it was, and we just have to write out the Gemara's. Can you imagine this going on today? This is... But I had in 7th and 8th grade, Rabbi Beller. First, Lulav HaGazel. Then we learned all of Masech and Megillah in 8th grade. So, you know, it was so interesting as an approach. Imagine the parents' notes today. It's a different mitzvahs. So that was one interesting feature of Rabbi Beller. Another interesting feature of Rabbi Beller is Rabbi Beller said to me, Purim, so he taught me how to read the Megillah. And he says, you should do it every year. And I may have missed 1 year because in Eretz Yisrael they didn't allow us to read the American guys. They didn't think that we knew how to read the Megillah. So he said to me every year, Purim, you have to get up very early and get into your big day Shabbos. Yeah, he was 12 years old when he said this to me. And learn. That's the essence of the day. And then the rest of the day, you know, you can do whatever you need to do, the mitzvah sayom. So I just thought, okay, you know, he's my rabbi. He's into Torah learning, you know. He wants to make sure that I don't not learn Torah and Purim. But he's saying something much deeper than that. He understood that it was about a Kabbalah Satorah. I took him very seriously. Like, I got up very early. I remember my mother saying, what do you do? He's like up very early wearing a suit, learning Torah. But, you know, that was the idea. And that really is such a powerful idea. V'hilchos Purim v'Purim. I think that's, you know, I'm sure he had this in mind because, you know, he was so meduyak in this way. If you go back to that Rashi to finish off with this, V'idav Moshe Samodei Adonai Al-Bnei Yisrael, Moshe Tikin Al-Bnei Yisrael, Shiyu Sholem Adarshin Minyano Shalyom, Hilchos Pesach Pesach, Salama Hutzrach Lichtov Khan, Vaidabi Moshe, that Rashi, Milame, Shahayim Adabi Men, Hilchos Kamoi Void Mizmanan, Right, this, you know, experience of Kabbalah Satara that is so powerful, so much more than just Hilchos Purim Bepurim, but a way of saying Hadar Kiblu Abimei Achashverosh Kimu Aleihem Masha Kiblu Kvar. The Mikan Modar Rabba La Uraisa was neutralized, you know, by that experience, and so the return to Torah becomes the essential, you know, aspect of the day. And you know, yes, we are mevatel for Mikra Megillah to re-experience the story and other very important mitzvos, simcha that should be associated, Bikudei Hashem Yisharim, you know, Misam Chelev. But, you know, so that becomes a chiyuv, is to celebrate, you know, the survival of the Jewish people and the Torah's role in the survival of the Jewish people. So I think that's really what we should be experiencing, you know, at this time.